I worked on my message yesterday at home, and we used Dropbox. I know some of you probably know what Dropbox is. Others don't, but it's when you have your stuff goes from one computer to another. So I worked on my message all afternoon yesterday and got it all set up, and I didn't have to do hardly anything to get this morning. So I come in here, and we got a new laptop at home, and so we're still, you know, anybody that uses a new computer know what I'm talking about. So somehow I saved it in a place where it could not do connect somehow. So I get in here this morning, and I was back to square one. So praise God. As I said, I got my notes together, so, but it's all God, so. God teaches this morning through the power of his Holy Spirit, and I have just chosen to be his vessel, and I believe he's going to use me to speak whatever he wants to speak to you this morning. Praise God. So we're going to look at Matthew chapter 22 this morning. It's our foundation scripture, Matthew 22, 37 to 40. Praise you, Jesus. You know this verse. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Our new vision is what? Growing disciples to build the kingdom. And we are going to do that by loving God, loving people, serving others. Okay, so our message this morning, we are focusing on the middle part. We're focusing on loving people, and so we're going to take that off that scripture that we just read in the love your neighbor part. That's where we're going to be focusing this morning. Loving people. You know, and Wayne and I have written up so that, you know, what do we mean by loving people, and what our goal is, what our vision is for this part of the vision is to develop healthy relationships with others. You know, you can have relationships with others, but it doesn't necessarily mean they're healthy relationships. You know, you can have toxic relationships. You can have codependent relationships. So what we're after is healthy relationships with others is what we want. You know, I know some of you here, and we won't name names, but some of you, including myself, are not, you know, we're not really people, you know, we're not. This, God did not naturally make us so we're naturally drawn to other people. But you know what? We're not called to live in the natural. We're called to live in the supernatural. So even though naturally I am not a people person, God has supernaturally changed me and caused me to love people. And that, so if it, you know, if he did it for me and if he's doing it for me, then that means all the rest of you have to love people too. No, nobody gets out. There's no excuse. But you know, as I was thinking about this and meditating on sharing this morning, you know, realizing, you know, God is all about people. You know, it has nothing to do, God doesn't, you know, everything God is about is people. God made people. You know, God's kingdom is not about stuff. It's not about or money or, you know, washing machines or, you know, whatever. Jesus did everything he did for people. And so if God's number one interest is people and Jesus' number one interest in people is people, then what should our number one interest be? People. And so God has called us to love people, okay? And so we want to talk a little bit about building relationships this morning. And we want to look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, which once again, classic scriptures. No big new, you know, no new scriptures to share with you this morning, just ones we keep looking at. So Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, it says that let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Consider one another. In other words, we have to, you know, we need to put other people ahead of ourselves. You know, this is what this word is implying, is to put others, you know, implying that you're going to put their concerns first. You know, and naturally, that's just not natural for us. You know, in the physical, you know, fleshly part of us, it's not natural to put others first. It's just, you know, it's always me. And we may try to convince ourselves, but if we, in the natural, I have certain needs. I have certain wants. You know, why do we have problems with marriages? Because my needs are not being met. You know, why do we have problems in families? Because my needs are not being met. You know, on the job, why do we have problems? Because my needs are not being met. But that's not what God says. God says others first. But we can't do that naturally. I cannot force myself to, you know, to put Wayne first all the time. It has to be God. You know, I can only do it for so, you know, like we talk about works, you know, works mindset is I can only, you know, use my self-control so long and my will so long to put him first, and then something's going to happen and, you know, what about me? And that's true for all of us. What about me? But then we get in the what about me? And that's self-pity. And then we're on that downward spiral. So once again, we can't, you know, what I'm sharing with you this morning, I'm sharing with you what the Word says. But we have to go back to changing our heart beliefs, to actually walk in this freely and not have to work on it. It comes back to changing my beliefs, changing my heart beliefs. When I have the revelation that I am experiencing righteousness, when I am experiencing the love of God, and that's just, you know, I'm just experiencing who I am because I am loved, because God loves in me through Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. And when I'm experiencing that love, then it's easy for me to love you. It's not hard, you know, and you can't offend me when I'm walking in love. But when I have to walk in love, then there's a good chance you're going to offend me. But when I do it, you know, as my heart has changed, then this becomes easy. So I'm not, you know, don't look at this message as, okay, this is more I have to do. No, the only thing you have to do is work at changing your heart beliefs. Lining up with what God says about you, and the rest of this will be easy, okay? Praise God. So he says they're exhorting one another to encourage strength and comfort. But I want to focus on the middle of there. He says, not forsaking the assembling. Amen. Because, you know, you can't have relationships if you don't assemble. You know, you can delude yourself into thinking you have these great relationships based on Facebook or email or Instagram or Twitter or whatever. It's not a relationship. You may know about each other, but it's not a relationship. You have to be present together in the same room to have a relationship. And so that's, you know, one of the main reasons why I believe God says, no, don't forsake the assembling. You know, we all know when you get offended or, for, you know, something happens in life, you know, you get drawn away into sin or whatever. And so what happens? You start having all these excuses so you can't come to church as much as you did. And you have these, you know, these very convenient excuses where you convince yourself, well, you know, I just need some time alone. You know, we've heard that one so many times over the years, you know. I'm going through a rough time. I just need to pull back. Yeah. It's a straight lie straight from the pit of hell. But what is it? It pulls away from people. Because why? Because people have a purpose. You know, and when you're, especially when you're around other believers, you know, they have a purpose. And they don't have to say anything. But when you're doing, you know, when you're in a spot where you know you shouldn't be, when you've been feeling sorry for yourself, or you're in depression, or, you know, you're in sin or whatever, and you get around those other believers, you just don't like it. And they don't have to say a word. Because, you know, I noticed over the years, you know, I noticed it when someone who has talked to me on a regular, and I've said this before, when someone has talked to me on a regular basis and all of a sudden they don't talk to me as much, something's going on. Because it's not me they're pulling away from, it's God they're pulling away from. So this, you know, we have to watch that. So God says, you know, come together. If we want to have, you know, have those healthy relationships, we need to be together. Now, it's you know, it's not all fun. You know, we can sit here and we can, you know, if we wanted to operate in the flesh, every single one of us could go around and we could say about, you know, five other people in this room what they do that irritates you. I say, this irritates me and this irritates me. And we could. It's not going to help us. I was going to say something, Chuck, but I will not. I'll be good. Praise God. So, why do believers forsake assembling? You know, some of what I talked about. It says one thing that, you know, they think it doesn't matter that they're there. You know, they think, you know, nobody notices me anyway. You know, we've told you over and over again, continue to tell you, it matters when you're not here. Amen. If you belong here and you're not here, it matters. Amen. It's noticed when you're not here, you know. Mentally, when I, you know, we go through the, generally Sunday morning when we leave here, you know, on the way home, generally I'm going through and we're talking about, okay, so-and-so wasn't here, and so-and-so wasn't here, and so-and-so, what's going on there? So-and-so, they've missed 2 weeks. So, you know, it matters. We notice. And it's not just other people notice, and they may not even know it's you that they're missing. They just know something wasn't right this morning. Something, it's just not something. You know what? You know how different it feels just when there's a lot of people in the room than there's a few people. It's just, there's a difference. You matter. You matter. God cares about every single one of us. You matter to the rest of us. Whether you think you do or not, whether they tell you you do or not, you matter to the rest of us. We all have a spot that we're supposed to be filling. They also say, you know, people don't come because, you know, whether it's a, you know, Sunday morning or, you know, to small groups, because that's the direction we're headed this morning, is because they don't see the importance of it. They don't see, what does it matter? You know, I'm not learning anything. You know, what does it matter that it's not really important? It doesn't matter if I go to group. It doesn't matter if I come Thursday nights. It doesn't, I don't see the importance of it. Which we're being deceived if we don't see the importance of it. You know, we've deceived ourselves. Because we need to be with the body. You know, whether it's coming to hear a message isn't so much, but we need to be with the body because the body has a purpose. We challenge each other. We encourage each other. We may aggravate each other, but even aggravating each other, you know, that's an indication that, okay, I still have some heart beliefs to change. Why does that person irritate me? You know, it's not you. If you irritate me, it's not your problem, it's mine. That means because I am not experiencing righteousness. I'm not experiencing the love of God yet as I should be. So if nothing else, it shows, oh, I've still got some work to do. Praise God. Another reason is they get offended. And we know, been there, you know, done that, you know. Yes, we have 35 years of that. We won't talk about that one. They get too busy with the less important things. You know, once again, they don't see their spiritual life as, you know, it doesn't matter that, you know, I go to a group. It doesn't matter that I get together more than just Sunday morning. You know, I can handle this. Well, the thing is, you know, life may be going smooth now, but, and then something gets thrown at you. And when you haven't been being built up with the body, you can convince yourself that I can handle that, but I guarantee you're going to be warped. You know, you can deceive yourself, and you know, I know it's one person who that, you know, when I talk to him, or I get an email from him, is, you know, I'm really close to God. You know, they're not coming to church, but I'm really close to God. That's a deception, because God says it's supposed to be about people. You're supposed to be with people. You know, if you're Moses on the backside of the desert and you need 40 years to get your life in order, well, you know. Okay, but for the most part, that's not where we are. We need to be together, and when we can convince ourselves it doesn't matter, we are being self-deceived, because it does matter, okay? And then there's the other one, you know, they just don't like people. You know, and my temperament is, you know, when I'm with people all day, I just want to be alone. And I'm sure I won't take a poll, but I know there's a bunch of you, because I know there's a bunch of you in here that are leaders or analysts, and you just, people do not stimulate you, they drain you. But God doesn't say, okay, you guys don't have to, you know, get together with other believers, but, you know, just the expressors and the dependables, they're the only two that have to, you know, do this, but you leaders and analysts, you can just go do your thing. You know, it doesn't say that in the Bible. I have not found that. It would be nice some days if it said that, but it doesn't. So all of us, you know, would, like, once again, as our heart beliefs change, as we become experiencing God, life as God has designed it, then we enjoy being around people. Maybe not all people, but we can tolerate all people, okay? Praise God. Okay, praise God. Let's look at Romans chapter 12. This is a portion of scripture, and I think it's in my King James Bible, says something about, the heading is something about how to live like a Christian or something like that. So it's a very practical portion of scripture on interacting with other believers. And so first we want to read through this, and then I'm going to come back and comment on it. Romans chapter 12, verse 9. I'm going to be reading it in the New Living Translation. It says, don't just pretend that you love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Stand on the side of the good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy in your work, but serve the Lord enthusiastically. Be glad for all God is planning for you. Be patient in trouble and always be prayerful. When God's children are in need, be the one to help them out. And get into the habit of inviting guests home for dinner or if they need lodging for the night. If people persecute you because you are a Christian, don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. When others are happy, be happy with them. If they are sad, share their sorrow. Live in harmony with each other. Don't try to act important, but enjoy the company of ordinary people, and don't think you know it all. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do your part to live in peace with everyone as much as possible. So let's go back and look at some of these phrases in here. It starts with, don't just pretend that you love others, really love them. I remember many years ago that, you know, the song we used to sing is, I love you with the love of the Lord. And, you know, so you went through and you did all these, you know, hugged people that you couldn't stand and, you know, all this, you know, just, I love you with the love, because I can't stand you in the natural, but I love you with the love of the Lord, you know. So it's not, you know, it's not that performing, it's not, you know, we don't get the out of, you know, I can't stand that person, so I have to wait till I love them to, you know, to actually interact with them. You know, there's not that option. But we need to change, you know, once again, we need to change our hearts, get our hearts changed so we can actually say, when I say I love you, I really mean I love you. I really value you, because that's what God's love is. It's talking about value. I value you. Our personalities may not meld together, and I may not want to spend, you know, 24 hours a day with you, but I see your value. I see that you have gifts that really are there for the body. They're there for me. And when we start thinking about, you know, negatively about people, that's, you know, let's, you know, step back and say, let's look at their positive traits, because every child of God has positive traits. They have to. They're a child of God. They may not be mature. They may not be, you know, walking in love and doing everything right. But let's focus on the positive. Amen. You know, when we know, you know, okay, I've got to go to small group this week. You know, well, and so and so is going to be there. Well, no, what's the positive? What positive can I, you know, look at to help me? Let's, you know, think about, you know, like I remember James Maxwell. John Maxwell, who we used to do a lot of reading after, and he would say, you know, he would talk about, you know, thinking before he gave preached a message, he would think about all the, what the congregation, members of the congregation had to go through to get there, and he would think about, you know, the single moms who had to, you know, get all their kids ready, and, you know, the people that had to drive a long way, and, you know, all the things that people had to go through to get there, and to be part of it. And that's what, you know, once again, is thinking about others. Thinking about what the other person is going through to make the effort to be there. And I'm, you know, instead of thinking about, well, you know, I'm tired. Or it's cold out. Or it's, you know, I've got to get up in the morning. You know, I've got this or that. You know, instead of thinking about me and about, you know, it's all about me and my needs. And, you know, no, what about other people need me? They need me to be there. They need me to smile. You know, for those of you who have known me a long time, that's progress, right? But God can make you smile when you don't naturally smile. Amen. Praise God. Praise you, Jesus. Okay, so then it says, love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. You know, and take delight in honoring each other. Once again, we can do it from the outside, and we may have to start as an external thing and choosing to honor them. But if we don't change it to a heart thing, eventually what it says, you know, when you honor someone from an external perspective, it's, and if they don't appreciate what you did, then it's, well, I went through all that, and I went out of my way, and that was really hard for me, and they didn't even say thank you. And once again, then we go back to the cycle of getting offended. Well, I'm not going to go. You know, it's just, they don't, you know, I don't care. They you know, blah, blah. But when it's from a heart, when I honor someone and it's out of my heart, it's, I don't care if I, it doesn't matter if I ever get thanked. It doesn't matter if they ever say anything. It's, I know, I bless someone. You know, what I said blessed someone. What I did blessed someone, you know. It's always nice to hear that what you did or said actually helped someone. You know, it's always nice. But after being in the ministry for 35 years, you get used to, yeah. You're not, it's not going to happen. When it happens, praise God. But it doesn't happen very often. And that's okay because God has called me to this. It's not, you know, I'm not doing this to please anybody, obviously. I'm not doing this to get credit for it from the, you know, from people. And that's when our heart changes, then it doesn't matter how people respond to us. Love each other with genuine affection. And then the middle part is really what we want to focus on today, is when God's children are in need, be the one to help them out. And get into the habit of inviting guests home for dinner or if they need lodging for the night. Down a little farther it says, when others are happy, be happy with them. If they're sad, share their sorrow. Live in harmony with each other. Enjoy the company of ordinary people and don't think you know it all. And then down the bottom, do your part to live in peace with everyone as much as possible. But in the middle there, that's where that verse 13, we're going to come back to that. Let's look on at Acts chapter 2, verse 44. In the Living Bible, and this is the portion of scripture that we've been discussing in New Beginnings class. And all the believers met together constantly and shared everything with each other, selling their possessions and dividing with those in need. They worshiped together regularly at the temple each day, met in small groups in homes for communion, and shared their meals with great joy and thankfulness, praising God. The whole city was favorable to them, and each day God added to them all who were being saved. It starts at the beginning, says believers met together constantly, but I want to focus on, once again in the middle, it says they met in small groups in homes. The Expository Dictionary Bible Word says about this, in New Testament times, the house was the primary place of meeting and fellowship for believers. For the first centuries of the Christian era, believers did not meet in church buildings, but in smaller, more intimate groups in homes. Thus, the greeting in Romans 16:5 to that church that meets at the house of Priscilla and Aquila is a reflection of the normal pattern of early church life. It was very natural for early Christians meeting in household groups to sense deeply the family quality of their mutual relationship as children of God. It's also significant that the New Testament pays attention not only to relationships within families, but also to relationships between believers who are called on to live together and to love as brothers. In other words, you know, it started in homes. It started, the importance of being in a small group started at the beginning when the church first started. And there's no indication that it says in the Word, okay, you're supposed to stop this now. You know, just meet in big groups now. You don't have to meet in small groups. No, because it totally changes the dynamic of a group when I have a close relationship with the people in that group, or if I just come on Sunday mornings and just attend with a large group. We know this. This isn't any revelation to you. You know there's a difference, and you know that it matters. So we go back in verse 13 of Romans 12. It says, when God's children are in need, be the one to help them out. If you know, you can do that. You know, I can come up here on a Sunday morning and say, we have a need here. And you know, once again, you know, when we've done that in the past, you know, you've been great with giving offerings to that need. But it would be even more great if people just knew. You know, it really bothers Wayne and I when we find out, you know, weeks later that someone had a loss, someone was going through a sickness, someone had surgery, you know, someone had a need, and we didn't know anything about it. And it bothers that we don't know, but I know from the past, and I know from, you know, being in the ministry as long as I have, that I know a lot of times in the past, members of the congregation, they're not going to tell anybody. They're not going to tell anybody in the congregation when they're going through something or when they have a need. And they have all sorts of reasons, but, you know, they don't want people to know or just generally negative reasons for not wanting anybody to know. So how are you going to help anybody if you don't know there's a need? But that's what, in a small group, just in conversation, you find out, oh, so-and-so needs this. well, you know, I know so-and-so, and I bet you I could help them out. Well, I know so-and-so, and you know, and we can, or let's just take an offering right now. What do we have that we can help them with? Which, that's what one of the things that happens in a small group, in a group that meets at homes, in a smaller, you know, smaller group of people. You can become one. You know, what happens, you know, you see all these the TV shows or movies where these people are stranded or plane crash or something, and you have this small group of people and they become a totally different unit because they spend so much time together. It just happens. The good, the bad, and the ugly comes out, but, you know, as we're children of God, hopefully the ugly gets minimized and the good comes to the surface. But there is a reason. It says, get into the habit of inviting guests home for dinner or if they need lodging for the night. Now, I know this is talking about, you know, in Eastern culture, it was much more common for them to, you know, okay, you don't, you know, I mean, you see with the life of Jesus, you know, stay overnight. You know, don't, because of the dangers of traveling at night and stuff, it was just part of the culture. You just invited people in. You just, you know, traveling in the desert. You just, if somebody came, you automatically fed them. That was part of culture. And that's not automatically part of Western culture, but it's in the Bible. And it doesn't say, okay, for you Americans, you know, 2,000 years from now, you don't have to do this. You know, we know that your life, your time is much more important, and you don't, you know, for whatever reason, you don't have to do this. It doesn't apply to you. No, it doesn't say that. So the word still says, get into the habit of inviting guests home for dinner or if they need lodging for the night. Now, I'm going to focus on, you know, it's... We're not going to go to whether you invite them overnight or not. That's totally up to you. But I am going to focus on inviting them for dinner because that's, you know, that's where we're going. That's, we've talked about that. And we're going to be doing more. Somebody wants dinner. Okay. So we want to look at, and then, you know, in the Acts, we're talking about meeting in small groups, meeting in homes. So between those two scriptures, between the scriptures that we have shared this morning, we are obviously talking about small groups. We've talked about small groups in the past. We're going to continue. That's one of our focuses for this year, is to reestablish small groups, and not just to reestablish what we had, but to establish them in a way that they will be effective. You know, we've had small groups off and on over the years for... Good Lord, 25, no, longer than 25, between 25 and 30 years. Yeah, we started even in the old building. That's like 27 years ago. So we've done them off and on. At times we've had effective small groups. At times we've had ineffective small groups. But once again, simply because the Bible says to do it, and not because, okay, this is the thing to do, but because the Bible says to do it, and because God has called us, our vision is to grow disciples. And you can't grow disciples just by preaching to people that's on Sunday mornings. You need more than that. You need small group interaction. You need close relationships to be able to disciple someone. Because you need to have someone trust you enough to be able to speak into their life. And the only way you can do that is with building a relationship. They need to know you to know whether they can trust you to, you know, that what you say is true. They need to know something about how you live, not just on how you look Sunday morning. And so that's why we're refocusing on small groups. It's because it's about discipling. And discipling isn't just sitting down with someone and going through the Bible. Discipling is about seeing how each other lives, doing things together, living life, showing another person how this is how you live life as a child of God. Praise God. We can't develop strong relationships in a large group. You know, once again, we can learn a lot about each other, maybe in a large group, you know, with somebody preaching or you're listening to CDs by someone or something. But as far as a relationship, you know, you can, you know, you may have a speaker, you know, you may listen to Kenneth Copeland or even I've listened to a lot of James Richards, read a lot of his books. So I know a lot about what he's done in life and what's happened. But for me to walk up to say and say, you know, hi, Jim, how you doing? How's the wife, you know, and how's the girls? You know, he has four daughters and, you know, and he would look at me like, you're a crazy lady, you know. Why are you talking to me like that? You know, Kenneth Copeland, you may have listened to him for years, you know, but you walk up to Kenneth Copeland and say, hey, Ken, how's it doing? Let's do lunch, you know. It's different. You know a lot about him, but you don't have a relationship. What? Yeah, Wayne's mom calls Kenneth Copeland Kenny, so she has a special relationship with him. She's 83, she can do whatever she wants. Praise God. So with small groups, you know, we can sit here and say, you know, what's in it for me? You know, why should I bother being a part of a small group? Why should I even make the effort to be part of a small group? Well, I'm going to tell you. It's good for your health. It's good for your wealth. It's good for your spiritual growth. Amen. How much better can you get than that? And why is it good for my health? You know, it's good for us physically and mentally to have strong, healthy relationships. They've done study after study. You know, married men live longer than single men. You know, people that go to church on a regular basis live longer and are healthier than people that don't. People that have a strong support system are healthier than people that don't. People that are diagnosed with cancer, those with a strong support system, live longer than those that don't have no support system. You know, I've personally seen some of this stuff. I've seen the difference it makes. And so we need, whether we have a natural family or if we have a natural family that we don't get along with, you know, you have the body of Christ. And once again, you know, the Proverbs also tell, I think it's Proverbs, iron sharpens iron. Sometimes we irritate each other. But just like, you know, just because Wayne irritates me, I don't say, you know, forget it. I'm not, you know, I'm out of here. You know, good Lord, I would have left so many times. But in a family, you know, just because, you know, so a member of the family irritates you doesn't, okay, family's done, you know. So it should be the same thing in the body. We are the body of Christ. We are the family of God. And so just because we irritate each other doesn't mean I'm out of here. You know, I'm offended. Why don't we actually do what the Bible says? Why don't we release our offense? Why don't we forgive the person? Why don't we show mercy? Now, once again, you know, we're just being, you know, be logical, you know, be rational. It doesn't mean that I have to be buddy-buddy with everybody in the congregation. No, I don't even have time. You don't have time. But we need to have relationships within the body. Amen. We need that strength. We need that to, you know, to be a part of each other, to encourage each other, to support each other. We need that. You know, sometimes, you know, I may know about you have a need. I don't know you a lot. I'm not real close to you. Sometimes it's easier to pray for someone who you know have a relationship, but you're not friends with because you can stay in faith. Well, when you're real close to someone, a lot of times it's harder because your mind goes to all the negatives and what if this happens, what if this happens. But if I know you have a need, I can pray in faith. Amen. So there's, you know, it's not... I believe, choose to believe you understand where I'm coming from and that you're being rational with this and not going off on some tangent and, you know, going to the extreme with anything. You know, this is wisdom. You know, let's be rational with this. Small groups are good for your wealth. Well, how can that be? Well, in the days we live in, you know, one of the things that you need people, you know, networking is done all the time. You know, I could have Loretta get up here and give a speech on networking because she's our professional networker. You know, you find out, you know, so you're in a small group and you're talking to someone about, you know, yeah, I need to find a different job. You know, this one just isn't cutting it. And somebody else hears you. Well, I know. What kind of job are you looking about? You know, well, I know someone, so I know they're hiring over here. Da, da, da. You would never know about that. But being in a part of that group. Or, you know, businesses or whatever. It's networking, being together, connections. You know, you get connections when you're joining, you know, in a small group with relationship with other people that you would never find out about in other situations. You know, it's whether, you know, a lot of times, you know, sometimes when we go out for ladies' night, you know, we get into shopping, talking about shopping. Well, it's not shopping about who can spend the most money. It's, no, who can save the most money. And so, okay, this place, go here. Well, no, I go here for shopping. Don't go there. They cost, you know, they charge a fortune. Yeah, but you only do that by interaction with people, by having relationships with people. That's part of a small group. It's not just all the Bible. It's life. It's being a part of that small group as far as life. Also, in things, a small group, as we've been talking about, is social interaction. You learn how to get along with people. If you're not changing, someone is going to say something to let you know you're really irritating. some people more pointed than others. So, but because social interaction, that's one of the highest things that employers are looking for, is that you can get along with people. Because how are you going to help a business if you can't get along with people? Well, that's one of the things, it just naturally happens in a small group, is you learn to get along with people. Amen. It's like, you know, when you, the more intimate the group, the more, you know, how come, you know, when you know, one of those things, that, another thing that gets me on TV shows, is you have this group of friends, and they can say anything. You know, they can, you know, say anything negative to the other friends, and, you know, it's just like, oh, well, thanks, you know, or that wasn't very nice. But it's like, it doesn't change the relationship in the dynamic. Everything's still the same. But in church, good Lord, you say one semi-negative thing and woo, 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 woo. How come we're such idiots in church? But out there in the world, they can say whatever they want, you know. You can take all sorts of crap from people in where you work, but someone say the same thing in church, and they're supposed to be a Christian. They're supposed to walk in love. Oh, give me a break. What a crock. When you become perfect, then we'll talk. Yes. It isn't until we get to heaven. But so let's just cut each other a break. You know, let's accept each other where we are. It doesn't mean we are okay with sin. But no, let's just accept this is where this person is. I'm going to pray for them because I believe God has more for them. I know God has more for them. But if you don't know that person, how do you know? You don't know what their background is. You don't know what kind of situation they come from. They may be really spiritual compared to where they were. Praise God. Your spiritual growth. Obviously, this should be obvious, but, you know, what do we do in a small group? We learn from other people. We learn, you know, we hear, you know, we're going through something, and we think, oh, nobody's ever gone through this. Nobody has it as bad as I do. And then we hear somebody else in the group sharing about what they have been through or what they're going through, and we realize, good Lord, thank you, Lord. I'm sorry because this, you know, I'm sorry for feeling sorry for myself because they have it so much harder than I have it. So I'm going to be there. I'm going to support them. I had no idea they were going through this. I couldn't tell Sunday morning that they were going through. To know that they're going through this, to know that this has happened to them, gives us a totally different perspective. You know, as I said, you know, my perception is my reality. Well, sometimes we need our perception changed so we can recognize what other people are going through. So we learn from others. We're challenged by others. We've even talked about this, you know. Somebody else in the group may drive you up a wall. They just irritate you. Well, use it to grow. Use it to look at your heart beliefs and say, what has to change? Why does that person irritate me? It may be that person may irritate me because it reminds me from somebody in my past. And so I need to go back and forgive that person in my past. And then all of a sudden that person doesn't irritate me near as much. It's not, you know, it's use what life brings you to, you know, to grow. Praise you, Jesus. And then on the other side, we can mentor others. You know, for the most part, all of you are probably more mature than someone else spiritually. And so you can help with them, with what you have been through. You can share with somebody else. You know, when you hear about what this is what they've been going through, but this is, you know, this happened to me and God brought me through. You know, this is what I learned, you know. Turn to God, you know. God is your hope. God is your answer. It's going to be okay. Yes. Amen. Praise God. So this brings us to my final point of why the purpose for this message this morning is, once again, we talked to you a while back about it, and I didn't bring my bulletin out here. But we talked about we're doing what we're calling hospitality groups in January and February. And hospitality groups, the purpose of these groups is to learn more about others and to develop connections with others. So we're looking for everybody in the congregation who believes that this is their church to be getting together with at least one other person, if not more, during January and then again during February. For you can be the same people or different people. But we want everybody in the congregation to have social interaction, fellowship with other people in the congregation. And once again, we're doing this to, so we can start developing healthy relationships in the congregation. Because if we can't handle it here, how in the world are we ever going to reach it out there? You know, how are you going to bring people from the outside? People from the outside, you know that we set up atmospheres? You know, we have this area around us that everything that is in us permeates out. So if you have a small group and you have two people in that group who are irritating each other and aren't getting along, and then you have somebody new come in, they may not have a clue what's going on, but they just, I don't want to come back. The same thing in a church, you know, same thing in a Sunday morning. If there's people not getting along, there's people that are, you know, have their own agendas and stuff, other people pick it up but don't even have a clue what's going on. And it's just, I'm just not comfortable there. You know, we may have come up with excuses why, but we just have this, you know, I'm not going back there. So, once again, it matters. Let's see, so what I wrote in the bulletin is, during the months of January and February, our goal is to have everyone in the congregation fellowship with other members of the congregation outside of regular services. The following options are available. Invite people over to your house. Now, this can be for a meal, it can be for dessert, it can just be to talk, whatever, play a game, whatever. Meet them at a restaurant. If you don't have the facilities to do it at home, or you're not a cook, you're not comfortable, well then, you know, meet at a restaurant someplace. You know, go to Panera for dessert. Meet at the Queen for coffee, whatever. But get together with them somewhere. Or meet other people for an activity, you know, such as if we have bowling or ice skating or sledding, you know, something do as an activity. You find out that other people like to do stuff, physical things, well, get together with them and do that. Or if you don't have any other place to meet, you can meet here at the church building and, you know, let us know and we will make arrangements to have the church available for whenever you want to get together here. And along with this is I will be... I have a list of everybody in the congregation. And so when you do this, when you have people over, you get together, you can come to me and let me know, okay, I met with so-and-so, these were the people that were there, and I will check them off. And then when we get toward the end of the month, then we're going to find out who hasn't been, and then we're going to go after them, and I am going to track everybody that's had social interaction. This isn't just, this will be nice. No, we're going to do this. And so you may be at the end of the month, if you haven't met with anybody else, then you may be meeting with me at the Queen. So if you don't want to do that, then meet with people you really enjoy being with. But take some effort, because this is what we're doing in January, once again in February. And if you're not very good at it, then we'll add March. But we are serious about this, okay? We see the need for it, because it's not just about us. It's about the lost world out there. Amen. So we have to get our act together, and this is one of the ways that we believe we need to do it. And so then we can start reaching out, okay? Praise God, hallelujah. And then when we get this one down, then we're going to move on adding future groups. One of the things that we will be expanding is the life groups, which right now the only one that does a life group is Chuck and Doreen. And basically the purpose in that group is to discuss a message that has been taught here. We also are going to be adding more what I call topical groups. What our Thursday night group is, we're going through a book. So that's more topical. There's a purpose, you know, for that group. And then also we're adding more specialty groups. Right now the only specialty group, we actually have a couple. The M30, the men's group, is kind of a specialty group, and the young adults is a specialty group. So we want to add more of them. In other words, a specialty group is, you know, they're a group that's around an interest. You know, maybe you, if anybody here, you like to jog. Maybe you want to start a jogging group and, you know, having that. You know, don't invite me. I'm too old for jogging. Walk I can do, but not jog. But, you know, we want to expand and give it enough variety as we develop this that everybody can connect with some group of people, okay? That's what we want to do. Why? Because we want to fulfill our vision. growing disciples to build the kingdom by loving God, loving people, serving others. Let's praise and worship the God who is all behind it all. Amen? Let's do it.